So we lift you high, Yahweh, Yahweh. Lord, lift you high, Yahweh, Yahweh. Oh God, so we lift you high,
Yahweh.
Lift your voice this morning and bless his name. Lift your voice and bless his name. Sing to your lover. Sing to your maker. Sing to your maker. Rabela sime kopra bela hati. Ebe biapa, ebe biape. Ele bela kumpra timase bra.
Last singing.
Love me.
There's no other God but you. Oh Lord, be lifted high here this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all saints say, Hallelujah. Please have your seat comfortably this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. How many of you are excited to be in God's presence this morning? My heart is full of joy. I don't know why. I'm very excited. Hallelujah. All right, so let's quickly celebrate some special people here this morning. If it's your first time, if it's the first time in church, can you just rise on your feet? Let's celebrate. If it's your first time in church, rise on your feet. Let's celebrate you. God bless you. God bless you. I know there are many more. I celebrate them, please. Celebrate them.
You are welcome. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. God has brought you here. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. God has brought you here. You are welcome in the name. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome.
Our hearts are full of joy to see you. This is Lighthouse of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, where friends meet friends and we all meet Jesus. And we're so glad to have you around this morning. God bless you in Jesus. Please have your seat. Hallelujah. So without wasting time, let's go to the Word of God. For the next few weeks, we're going to be considering the subject Knowing God. If it's been your desire to know God, to really understand who God is, this is your moment. All right? Knowing God. That's the topic, knowing God. And we start here this morning by understanding, first of all, the reason for our gathering. Why are we gathered? Why can't I be in my room and know God? Or why can't I just call my friend and say, friend, there's no need to go to a church in court on Sundays. Every Sunday, let's meet together and just have fellowship. Why not that? Why do we have to gather like this under an atmosphere, under a structure called the church? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Bible, Acts chapter 8. We don't have a screen yet, so just let's maximize this moment. Hopefully by next week when you come, we'll be able to project Bible verses. All right. Acts chapter 8 from verse 26. So I want you to read. Where's the second microphone? I need somebody to read, please. If you are there, please, and you are willing to read, please go ahead. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 8, sorry, verse 26.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert.
Continue, please.
And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to these chariots. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Let's hold it there. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You do me a favor, please, because we don't have the screens yet. When I call any Bible verse, please make sure you do your diligence to go to that Bible verse. Do you understand? Let's read together. Now, what happened here? We have two major characters. We have Philip and the eunuch of Ethiopia. Now, this eunuch of Ethiopia, in fact, the Bible says that this man had just gone to Jerusalem for worship. Are you still with me this morning? This man had gone to Jerusalem for what? For he was literally coming from the synagogue. And sometimes you might want to ask yourself, I mean, like, why do people have to move from one place to another, you know, for worship? Why stress so much for the sake of worship? We see it, you know, clear in the Bible. The Bible says that this man was coming from the synagogue. This man was coming from Jerusalem. He was coming from the place of worship. And it amazes me the fact that even though this man was coming from the synagogue, he had questions in his heart. And God could not find anyone in the synagogue. Are you with me this morning? Are you together? I'm talking about God could not what? God could not find anyone in the synagogue to answer the questions of the eunuch. And I made some research to understand what really happened. Philip was in Samaria and the Ethiopian eunuch was on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, which runs through the desert region south of Jerusalem. The approximate distance, just pay attention, the approximate distance from Samaria to Jerusalem, about 40 to 50 miles. From Samaria to Jerusalem, about 40 to 50 miles. And that's 64 to 80 kilometers. Now from Jerusalem, now when you get to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza, where the eunuch was traveling, about 50 to 60 miles. That's 80 to 97 kilometers. So depending on where exactly Philip started in Samaria and where he met the eunuch on the Gaza road, he could have traveled around 60 to 100 miles. I'm trying to let you understand what happened here. This man was coming from the synagogue. He had questions in his heart. And God, I mean, you've seen in your Bible, the Lord said, I sought for a man. Are you getting what I'm talking about? When God says, I am looking for a man, it's not like there are no people, but I'm looking for a kind of man. And that man was leaving the synagogue. God could not find one person. Are you getting what I'm talking about? God could not find one person right there in the synagogue to answer the question of Philip. And God had to take extra effort in causing Philip to travel an approximate of 60 to 100 miles. That's at least 2 days. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, of course, we understand the story that the hand of the Lord was upon Philip. He traveled supernaturally. Praise the living Jesus. But I will show you another instance. I will show you when I'm done with this. I'll show you another instance whereby God did not cause the person to travel supernaturally. The person literally had to travel by road. Why is God doing this? Okay, I will come back here. Let me quickly show you that. I'll come back here. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Another reader. Raise your hand if you're there. Acts chapter 10. Read from verse 1. Acts chapter 10. Okay, there's someone there.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius.
All right.
A centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Okay.
A devout man and one that feared God with all his house,
okay,
which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God away. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up from the memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter.
Are you paying attention? Okay.
He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually.
Let's hold it there. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I believe you follow the story. There was a man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. This Cornelius, the Bible says he was a good man, but he wasn't saved. The Bible talked about the good things that he did. He gave alms. He prayed. You know, he observed all the necessary things. Maybe you pray in the morning, you pray in the afternoon, you pray in the evening. He was very dutiful. He was an amazing person. Praise the living Jesus. And have you met people like that? People who are not saved, but they are amazing. Have you met people like that? Have you met people like that? Praise the Lord. Cornelius was an amazing man, but he was not saved. And what happened? I want to believe there were people around Cornelius also. And God had to tell Cornelius, I've seen your heart for me. I can see the fact that you really want to know me and touch me. And God said, go to, where did God say he should go to? Joppa, right? Go to Joppa and look for a man called Peter. Now, let me give you the details again. Cornelius was living in Caesarea, a major Roman city on the coast of modern-day Israel. The distance between Caesarea and Joppa, modern-day Jaffa, near Tel Aviv, was approximately 30 miles. That's 48 kilometers. Since travel in those days was mostly by foot or horseback, it would have taken Cornelius' men about a day or more to reach Joppa and another day to return with Peter. Hallelujah. Are you following? I'm trying to let you understand certain things. God again was going to get the attention of Cornelius. God was going to reveal himself to Cornelius. And God caused a man. Now, this time around, not by supernatural means. This man did not disappear. He did not teleport. This man had to send his men and they did a road trip. A road trip of nothing less than a day to go call for Simon Peter, who would tell him what he needed to do to be saved. And God was doing, if you look at the case of the eunuch of Ethiopia, God did it for how many people? For how many people? For how many people? For how many people? One person, one eunuch of Ethiopia, just one person. God caused Philip to travel miles for the sake of one person. In Acts chapter 10, God caused Simon Peter, or God caused Cornelius to send his men to Simon Peter for Peter also to come for the sake of one man, which later translated to his whole household. Are you still with me this morning? Now we can go back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, 27. Let's go back there. Why church? I want to know God. Why can't I be in my room? Why can't I call, you know, this person? Why can't I call that person? Now the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, verse 12, the Bible says that the Lord gave gifts. He ascended into heaven and he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, and some what? Pastors. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. There are gifts. There are gifts. That is why you can't just call, while there is a place for that. And one of the things we're going to encourage here in this church is small communities. Just bring your friends together. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, I am there. The Lord said, call a friend. Let's have evening fellowship. Let's study together. Let's pray together. Let's see, listen to a sermon together. Let's do things together. As much as you do all of that, it can never replace the place of a need for a structure called the church. All right, but let's move on. Verse 27, let's read on. Another reader. Verse 27. Who's there? Who's ready? 27 now, verse 27. All right. At 8.
Verse 27. And they arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read if Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except a man should guide me?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Understandest thou what thou readest? And the man was humble enough. His answer was so correct. He said, how can I, except there is someone to explain? You can know God by staying in your room, reading your Bible, pray daily, get a devotional. You can know God, but you will never know God as you ought to unless you are taught. So this for the next few weeks, I'll be both explaining God. I'll be showing to you who God is, and I will also show you how to find God. All right. I will both show you what? Who God is, and I will also show you how to find God. And I think before I close today, at least, I need to, so we can start. I need to get you started. Some action points. What do I need to do to know God? But I will dwell so much on explaining God to you. Because if I tell you to go, I tell you what to do to find God, and you're reading your Bible, you are doing this, doing that, you will never understand some things unless you are taught. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me tell you the person beside you and say, you will never understand some things unless you are taught. Find another neighbor and say, you will never understand some things unless you are taught. It's the truth. And you will not, now it's in different levels. You will not understand some things unless you are taught. And sometimes God will use your friends in fellowship. God will use your friends for you to understand certain things. But there are certain things you will never understand in fellowship with your friend. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, that he gave unto some. God gave gifts to men. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave pastors, he gave teachers for the perfecting, so you can grasp God. Hallelujah. You can never understand certain things unless for the gifts that the Lord has given to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let's move on. I believe that is clear. Understandest thou what thou readest? And the man was humble enough to say, how can I understand unless there's someone to teach? Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 17. We're talking about knowing God. Knowing God. Acts chapter 17 from verse 23. Acts 17 from 23. A different reader now. Acts 17 from 23. You haven't read today? Acts 17 from 23. Is there, yeah? Okay.
For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you.
Hallelujah. Apostle Paul speaking, he told his audience, he said, as I passed by, I saw an inscription. And the inscription says, to the unknown God. Now there are three categories of people in the world. Every person you meet in the world will find themselves in one of these three categories. We have number one, atheists. Atheists. Who are atheists? Atheists are people who don't believe in the existence of God. And number two, we have agnostics. Agnostics are in between. Well, I mean, I'm not saying there's no God, but well, maybe it is. We can't tell. I think he exists. Well, agnostics. And then we have a third category, believers in God. Believers in God. Now, these guys, Apostle Paul met, find themselves in the third category. They were believers in God, even though they never knew God. Are you getting what I'm talking about? There was a deep-seated respect in their hearts for God. So they go out, they drink, they smoke. But if their friends are around and their friends are, you know, they're having conversation and the friend is saying, God, you know, and the friend knows, I mean, this guy is lying. Like, hey, guy, watch it, oh, guy, watch it, guy, watch it. Hey, I mean, you better be careful. You better, this guy is not holy. Are you getting what I'm talking about? This guy doesn't live well, but there's a deep-seated respect. And say, hey, you are calling the name of God in vain. Don't abuse that name. There's a deep-seated respect in this person's heart for God, even though they don't know God. The third category, believers in God. Now, the believers in God category is very bright. It's very broad, sorry. It's very broad. Because therein, do we find you and I? Are you getting what I'm talking about? For those of us who have come to believe in God and have come to know Him, at least to an extent, we still find ourselves in this third category. But in this third category, you find a lot of people who were like the people Apostle Paul met in Acts chapter 17. And there is this song in Yoruba. Mi ori ori o. Let's sing it together. Olorun mi. Sugbon mo nfili re. Mi ori ori o. Help me. Sugbon mo nfili re. I have assurance. Olorun mi. Wi pe e wa. I have assurance, Olorun mi, wipe wa. Now, it used to be, I have a feeling, right? And then some believers came together, maybe just one person, and like, no, it's not feeling. Like, we know, hey, I know, I have assurance. But you see, that song, I have a feeling, is very true for certain people. It's true for the people Apostle Paul found right there. There's no assurance. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Are you seeing what I'm talking about? What did I say? There is what? There is no assurance. But it's feeling. I have a feeling. God exists though. The friend is trying to say, let's respect God. No relationship, nothing. But like, God, let's respect. Are you getting what I'm talking about? There are some of us here this morning. Your state is, I have a feeling, and that's okay. You are not yet at that place or have assured. Are you getting what I'm talking about? If you are also in the face of persecution, like we heard in the course of the Sunday school, not even as serious as that. No, it's not like somebody is going to cut off your hand, cut off your head, or cut off something. It's just for the fact that maybe your grade will reduce, or something, the money you're getting, your portion will reduce. You're going to lie. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Why are you going to lie? There is what? No assurance. Praise the living Jesus. God is going to be moving men in the next few weeks from the place of I have a feeling to the place of I have assurance. But we must be sincere with ourselves. That eunuch of Ethiopia was so sincere. I love that man. Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? Some of us would have used both face. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Like, I know. I've met a lot of people in life. They always know it. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You ask about something. They really don't know it. But they always seem to know it. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You ask a question, this, that. They always act like they have an idea, whereas they are wrong. This man right here did not argue. He did not lie. He was so, and you and I will never grow. We will never experience growth until we are sincere with ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. And he went on to say, know ye not your own selves? Don't you know yourself? Are you getting what I'm talking about? Don't you what? Don't you know yourself? You are here this morning and you can tell my experiences. I have a feeling. Don't when we are, when I sing it again, and we are singing it, if it's not yet, you are not there, just don't try to feel among. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Just sing, I have a feeling. Well, I have questions, you know, but I'm just here this morning, like, I grew up in a Christian family. I'm not yet there, but I have a feeling. Oh, God, there's God, actually, there's God. It's not so real, but I think there's God. So the unknown God, I mean, it's funny. Those guys were worshiping God, and they had an inscription. They wrote it, like they had a placard, and on their placard they wrote, to the unknown God. It's very funny. So you can be here this morning, you play musical instruments, but every time you play to the unknown God. You can be here this morning, you sing. Every time you sing, what are you doing? To the unknown God. You can be here this morning, you even bring gifts to church. You bring your tithe, you bring your offering, but your money is not clean. And every time you do it, you are doing it to the unknown God. But God respects the fact that you even believe in Him. God respects, are you still with me this morning? Are you still with me this morning? God respects the fact that what? You even believe in Him. Because we have atheists who don't even believe in God. What did God do in Acts chapter 10? It's what lovers should do. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, he was giving alms, praying to God. He was a good man, but he wasn't saved. He didn't know God. And God said, this man, I've been observing him for a number of years. This man is trying to know me. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible says in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, let's go there quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Mayowa, please read. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 from verse 1. Romans chapter 10. She's there. Romans chapter 10 from verse 1. She's there. She's there. Raise your hand. Let's find it. Romans chapter 10 from verse 1. We can't hear. Is the mic on?
A New King James Version. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Did you hear that? Thank you. Thank you. Apostle Paul said, my prayer to God for my people Israel is that what they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They have a heart for God. But their heart for God, their zeal does not align with knowledge. They have a zeal for God. And if you read on, let's read on. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Read on.
For they being ignorant of God's,
all right,
of God's righteousness,
okay,
and seeking to establish their own righteousness,
okay,
have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
They went about trying to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. There is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is in Christ Jesus. Until today, we have people who have a heart for God. They are zealous for God. Sometimes when you are asleep in your room, I mean, sometimes you don't do your devotion. And these guys are awake 5 a.m. in devotion to the unknown God. Once it's afternoon, they pray. Evening, they pray. Sometimes as a mark of devotion, you can see on the forehead of people, you see a mark. Are you getting what I'm talking about? There's a testament that these people are devoted, but to the unknown God. Apostle Paul said, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They have a heart for God. But the issue is the fact that their zeal is not according to knowledge. For they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verse 12, that there is salvation is in no other except the name Jesus. Acts 4 12. Cornelius was zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. And God is just an amazing person. If I'm not loving you well, what do? You acknowledge. God respected God. In fact, there's a portion of the, there's a translation, that same Acts chapter 10. There are some translations that says, and God had respect. Have you seen that in your Bible? The Bible says, and God had respect for everything Cornelius was doing. So if you find someone who really, really loves you, and they are not speaking your love language, what you do is, you respect. God first, before God went on to say, this is how to love me, call for a man. God first acknowledged everything he was doing. I see your arms. I see your devotion. I see how you are a good man. Are you getting what I'm talking about? God acknowledged what he was doing. Even though everything you are doing is not the way I want to be loved. My love language is Jesus. Says to somebody beside you, the love language of God is Jesus. The love language of God is Jesus. God said, you are not speaking my love language to the unknown God. A man can have a heart for God, but it's you are not speaking God's love language. You are not doing it right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you go to the book of Acts, we might not read it. We are almost out of time. If you go to the book of, Exodus 20, 18 to 19. Okay, let's read that. Exodus 20, 18 to 19. Let's read that. Exodus 20, 18 to 19. Hold on. Let her give you the mic.
And all the people saw the thunderings,
right,
and the lightnings,
right,
and the noise of the trumpets,
okay,
and the mountain smoking.
Okay.
And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off.
Okay.
And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we would hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.
Did you see that? They told Moses, this, we believe in God, but we're just, what is knowing God? Like, don't stress us. Please, go and talk to God. And there are several people till today. I mean, you just want, Daddy, sir. You know, I mean, I saw this, I had this dream, I had that dream. You're looking for people you can give certain amount of money and say, you know, can you just help me pray, you know, for the next few days? Give this person, like, just go and talk to God. We believe he exists, but we have no interest. Are you still with me this morning? There is something deep within everyone that echoes God's yes and no. Romans 2:15. Let's go there quickly. Romans 2:15. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. There was a translation I read yesterday that reads, there is something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right or wrong. Read it, please.
Who showed the work of the law written in their hearts, their right. consciousness also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them.
All right, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. There is something in the heart of everyone, every human, that says, there's God. Maybe next week I will show you how you can find God in nature. How you can find God in nature. But there is something deep in the heart of everyone you find on earth that screams, there's God. Now, these guys told Moses, he said, we are not interested in relating with this God. You go and speak with him. Just bring words to us. And in Exodus chapter 32, from 1 to 6, you find out that Moses went to the presence of God again. And because he delayed in coming back, the next thing, the people told Aaron and said, I mean, this Moses has gone for a while now and he's not coming back. We will give you all our juries. Make God for us. And Aaron did. And when Moses came down, he was so furious that he broke, you know, the commandments in his hand. There is just something in the heart, like there's a deep-seated consciousness in the heart of everyone that there's something. People want to worship something, want to worship God. And if God is delaying, if you are not, you know, you can't find him, you just want something you can see and touch. And that's where people consult, you know, herbalists and all of that. But God frowns at those things. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. As I close this morning, let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let's read from verse 7. Somebody read, please. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 7.
My little children.
All right.
Do not let anyone deceive you about sin.
My little children, don't let anyone deceive you about sin.
It is people who live in a good way that God accepts as right.
All right.
In the same way, Jesus only did what is good and
okay.
right.
Okay. Continue, please.
People who continue to do wrong things show that they belong to the devil.
All right.
The devil has always been doing wrong things from the beginning.
Okay.
This is why the Son of God came to the world.
All right.
He came to destroy everything that the devil has done.
All right. Now, you find here, the KJV says, and this... In this we know the children of God and the children of the devil. Say, those who belong to God will not continue to sin. They don't make a practice of sin. How do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I'm born again? When you find a person who is saved, now we have both believers and unbelievers, they sin. At one point or the other, even though it should not be the other, but just like a little child, the child is born, it begins to crawl, it's trying to walk, it makes attempts and falls. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, when you find a believer, how to differentiate a believer and a non-believer is their response to sin. If you find a believer, when a believer sins, let me use the common, you know, sin of sexual immorality among young people. So you find a believer and another believer, they are friends, a male and a female, And, you know, they love God. They believe we shouldn't do anything ungodly. But they are careless. And someday something happened. They begin to touch. Now, they're not even at that place of intercourse yet. But they begin to touch. Because the fear of God is in their hearts. And because these people are born again, even for the little that they do, they feel terrible. Oh God, what have we done? Oh God, and especially, I mean, when you find people like that who are being looked up to in church, like, oh, why should this happen to me? Oh God. And you sometimes find such people weeping. I say, no, this shouldn't have happened. And if you ask what has happened, oh, we kissed each other. You never had sex. No, we never had sex. And you can feel that deep-seated respect and the fear of God, that deep sorrow in their heart. But when you find a person who is unsaved, what happens? They sleep with this one. When they are in the congregation of their friends, they tell the friends, that one, forget. This one too, forget. That guy thinks he's smart. I changed the figure. You know, he didn't know. I added another zero. I did this. I was, you know, very smart. They sin and rejoice in it. Believers, they fall into sin. And what? Their response is godly sorrow. Are you getting it? Now, sometimes you find believers. Okay, I'm here. Sometimes you find believers who sin. And when they sin, you find out that their responses begin to also look like these guys. It's very possible. You can be here this morning. There was a point in your life when you actually genuinely were saved. You were really, really saved. But, like I gave the example of people being careless. The first time you were careless, you guys kissed. Nothing more happened. And another day, it happened that way again. The next day, more happened. And then the other day, more happened. And as you continue to go, every time this thing happens, what happens to you? You feel bad. You feel terrible. And if that continues, you will never enjoy your life. Because you will constantly live in guilt. Are you still following me? And what happens at that point is what Apostle Paul called one's conscience being seared with a hot iron. You find out that, I mean, if you're trying to maybe take hot tea, old hot iron, the first time, you drop it, you feel it. But with mastery, as you continue to hold, you get to a point where you develop capacity to hold further. Are you get what I'm talking about? It needs to be hotter. So you need to now kissing and doing all those other things can no longer make you feel bad. You need to engage in intercourse now to what? To feel terrible and feel like you've sinned. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You can find a believer who was once genuinely saved in that state. And if you find anyone like that, if you are here this morning and you are like that, you are not fine. You are sick. It's not an insult, it's a description. Praise the Lord. And God is here for you because as we begin to explore and go on the journey to knowing God, we need to sort out this, the very important thing, the entry point. All eyes closed this morning. The choir can come. Are you here this morning? You're the one I've been describing to the unknown God. To the unknown God. You sing to the unknown God. Play musical instruments to the unknown God. You give to the unknown God. You are here this morning and you are saying, Pastor, I want to become born again. I really want to surrender my heart to the Lord. Wherever you are this morning, just place your hand on your chest. Place your hand on your chest.
I surrender. I want to know you more.
Wherever you are this morning, place your hand on your chest. Place your hand on your chest. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're saying, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to become born again. I want to become born again. Lord, I want to become born again. Lord, I want to become born again. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Lord, I want to be saved. Don't miss your moment. 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 If you know you should join these people, do what you need to do. Don't miss your moment. This is your opportunity to set things in order. Oh, thank you, Father. There's a second category of people here this morning. Your case is not that of being born again. You know, you were once born again, but right now your conscience has been seared with hot iron. You no longer, those things that used to make you feel terrible, those sins no longer make you feel terrible anymore. You are here this morning. I want you to join these people. Just place your hand on your chest also. You can tell, Lord, I'm not going to deceive myself like the eunuch of Ethiopia who said, how will I understand unless there's someone to explain? And you are saying, Lord, this morning, I agree the fact that my conscience has been seared with a hot iron. My conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And I want, Lord, your healing this morning. I want your healing this morning. I want your healing. If you should join, you need to join these people. Make sure you don't miss your opportunity. Place your hand on your chest. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. There's healing here this morning. 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 Oh, thank you, Father. Let me give you the next 20 seconds. You have your hand on your chest. Begin to talk to God right now. If it's Lord, I see my wrong. And Lord, I'm saying, I come to you. I come to you. I run 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 to you. Lord, I run to you. Lord, I run to you. Forgive my sins. Have mercy on me. Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. While all eyes are still closed, if you have your hand on your chest, I want to pray with you. Can you just stand on your feet? Just stand on your feet. I want to pray with you. This is family. There's nothing to, you know, be ashamed of. Just stand on your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you are on your feet this morning, thank you, choir. Just pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming for me. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that has located and found me this morning. I thank you. I ask that you forgive my sins. I ask that you be merciful unto me. I declare this day that I'm born again, and I declare that my heart is healed. I declare that I have a new heart in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Please just move to the back. Just move to the back. Just continue with the song. Sister Chinan, please attend to them. Just go to the back. Just go to the back there. Everybody stand on your feet. I surrender.
I want to know. I want to know you.
Round up, please.
I want to know.
I just take the next 5 minutes and, you know, sing songs, declaring our love and devotion to God, seeking to know Him.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you.
I want to know you.
Just open our hearts to Jesus in this moment. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of your goodness, O God.
One more time.
I love you, Lord, for your mercies. For your mercies never fail me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of your goodness. All my life you have been faithful. All my life of your goodness, oh God. I will speak of your goodness, oh God. I will sing of your goodness, oh God. I will sing of your goodness, oh God. I will sing. Oh, I will speak.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Oh, I will sing.
Oh, I will sing of your goodness. Oh, God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of your goodness, oh God. I will sing of your goodness, oh God. I will sing.
Come on now.
My heart will sing. Silent.
this morning.